Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Draft is tonight. We want to hear from you. They pick late in the first, which means we don't know who will be there, but do you have a preference, a draft crush, a guy you've fallen in love with throughout the process that tonight you hope Roger Goodell steps up to the podium and announces their name as the next Detroit Lion? 248-539-9797. We throw that number out to you guys. Everybody on the show's got an opinion. John, I think I know where you're going here.
Oh, yeah. My guy, and it's no secret, is Gray Zabel, North Dakota State. I would love to have him at 28. I don't even know if he's going to be available there, but you've got to at some point get younger on the offensive line, and you've got to be able to provide talent up there, talent that is going to last. You have Penei Sewell. I think we believe Christian Mahogany is going to be one of those guys. Gray Zabel could be plugged in there at either guard spot or at center, depending on how you want, which side of the line that you want to put Mahogany on. And he's a guy in a pinch if Taylor Decker is, you know, down for any length of time or even just a game. You could put him out there at tackle. He's got tackle experience. He fits better on the interior, could play any of those three spots. So you have a succession plan for whether it's Graham Glasgow or Frank Ragnow.
I think ideally Glasgow is a flex player this season where he can play center or guard. Mahogany and Zabel would be starters in your scenario, right?
Yes. And so here's where I compare Gray Zabel is a guy last year that I really liked coming out of Duke, Grant Barton. He was taken 26th last year by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he was their everyday starter at center, and he played great. And so, I mean, he wasn't available. Obviously, they traded up to get Terrion Arnold. We knew that was going to be a possibility. They were going to address the corner position. I know the edge. I know defensive line is a huge concern for me. Offensive line is a huge concern. So Gray Zabel is a guy I've watched film on, and I just think he's a plug and play, and forget about him for the next time you're concerned about him is extending him.
Jordan Reed of ESPN has that as the Lions pick in a mock draft roundup. So there are people who feel like he will be there. And in that world, John Jansen's pounding the table.
Oh yeah.
Go get me Gray Zabel.
You?
Did a lot of wrestling with this because I do want big people. O-line or D-line. My preference
they're good in football. Big people.
Big people. They help you a lot. They're the two biggest needs for this football team. And while Brad Holmes doesn't draft for need, I'd love if need happened to match up with the best player on the board. There's two edge guys that I started to pare it down from. Both from the SEC, both premier athletes. One, Mykel Williams, who a lot of people think could be there at 28, and I wouldn't be upset with the pick. Long arms, big frame, can play the run, pass rush upside. In a lot of ways, I feel like we're talking about him the way Trayvon Walker was discussed a couple years ago. Now, Walker went number one overall, took a season, and now he had back-to-back 10 sack seasons. Certainly wouldn't be disappointed in that at 28. But the guy who I think out of the box is plug and play ready to go is a different SEC pass rusher. Warts and all, I want James Pierce Jr. I think out of the box, he has the elite step to get to the quarterback. You're going to face all of the elite quarterbacks this season, and you will have to play them in the Super Bowl. This is a guy who immediately changes your defense immediately. And of course, as a first round pick, it's a long term pair with Aiden Hutchinson. What about the character concerns? Did I miss an arrest record? Did I miss a charge somewhere? If this guy doesn't have something catastrophic in his background, and nobody has found it through this entire process, I'm going to back Dan Campbell's culture, bringing a dog into this front, and being a guy who gets to the quarterback. James Pierce Jr.
Certainly some risk in that.
Of course. You got to risk it, though. You're chasing a Super Bowl.
Right. You got to risk it for the biscuit. But the risk is it doesn't have to be off-the-field arrest records that prevents a guy from being a contributor. It could just be, you know, he's resting on, I'm just good and I don't have to work at it. That doesn't go for many people in the NFL. There's a very, very small list of guys that are successful just because they got the DNA to be great.
When you watch him, though, he's so fluid in space. He ran a 4.440. He has that elite first step quickness. And maybe, John, maybe you're right. Maybe that's gotten him by. If I was going to put him into an organization that could get him to put his nose down, work hard, is it not Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions? Don't I think the culture of those 50 guys would rub off on someone who is that naturally gifted?
It certainly could.
Now I'm looking at a guy who I took at 28, who might be one of the five best players in the draft. If you give me that talent plus the culture work ethic from the Detroit Lions organization, I'm going to leave a very happy man at the end of the night.
It certainly could rub off on him.
So a defensive line coach told Bruce Feldman that he's a first-round talent, but the stuff that you hear about him scares you. The maturity. So there are maturity issues, at least, out there.
J-Mo had maturity issues.
Exactly. Another coach said, we don't even have talk about him. How coachable is he? So there's something out there. Maybe he hasn't had his mistake yet, and people think fair. It's coming. I'm speculating here.
If they looked him in the eye, Dan Campbell sat in a room with him for a couple hours and said he's a knucklehead, then clearly don't draft him.
The other one that's been out there is football commitment. That would make you concerned about, is this a guy that's going to step away from the game early? You know, you're talking about first-round pick, the team's value. That's why I think he's going late first round, because there's not as much value attached to that pick. You could hit a home run here.
That's the key.
It's the Randy Moss thing, and he doesn't have the baggage that Moss had. I mean, come on.
Right, so I would defer to talent that late in the first round thinking I'm getting a steal.
Yeah. Look, if they take a chance on him, I trust them. This is,
yes.
I know in Brad we trust and in Dan we trust. Sometimes we mock it and stuff, and it's overused. This is where I would trust them, because it wouldn't be a norm for them. That means they've done due diligence on this and they trust it. I'm going with Kenneth Grant. I think he's a guy that will definitely be there. I love your pick, John. I don't think he's going to be there, Zabel.
Yeah, he might. I don't think he'll be there either, but if he is.
A lot of the mocks have been trending to him gone right around 20, 22, 23. Mm-hmm. Look, maybe they'll move up to get him. I mean, that'd be bold. But I'm going with Kenneth Grant, and I'm not being a Michigan homer. I think he's realistically available, and I like how he could potentially be plugged into play immediately, especially with McNeil out. He's going to be good against the run. Red flag, John can maybe comment, because you saw him play all these games, but is pad level, and that's beyond my expertise.
At times, but he has shown a number of other times where he does play with pad level. And it's not like Broderick Martin, where everybody will remember I was adamant that I never saw him play with good pad level. And if he would, he could be productive. But it's not something that, if you don't show it at all, that I think can be coached into you. Kenneth Grant, some rough edges, which is why he's not being talked about like Mason Graham. He needs to be polished a little bit. When he is polished, I think he's going to be a dominant defensive tackle.
Yeah, so long term, I think there's a lot of value with him. But I think short term, he could be plugged in a rotation. Mm-hmm. This Aleem McNeil thing is going to be one of the most impactful things on their season right now. He is not going to be on the field until probably around Halloween.
And it could be closer later. To Thanksgiving even.
But it could be a little earlier too. So.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to rush him back. I think Dan Campbell is on record saying, we need him at the end of the season
right,
to be playing his best ball. I don't think they're going to compromise that for a week 7 matchup to get him back 1 week early or something. Let's get to Chris in Ypsilanti. Chris, you got a draft crush. Who do you want the Lions to take tonight?
I have a huge draft crush. Let me tell you my methodology here. I study the draft like very intently. And what the trend that Brad Holmes tends to follow is he looks for guys who have, you know, high-end athleticism. I know you guys talk about the RAS score a lot. He looks for guys with high-end production. Every single first-round player in his portfolio elite producer on the field. And he looks for, most importantly, the reason why it will not be James Pierce cookies, high-end football character. Mm. These guys have to be good dudes. They care a lot. A lot of teams care about football character. John, I love the Gray Zabel pick. I would be totally happy with him at 28. But my draft crush, the guy who lies at the center of that triple Venn diagram, is Jihad Campbell.
Okay.
Jihad Campbell, backer out of Alabama. It is a need. There's only two linebackers on this roster in 2026, but he's so much more than a linebacker. Let's start with production. 117 tackles, first team All-American linebacker out of the SEC. And not only did he have 117 tackles, 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a pick. The guy can cover slot receivers in the SEC, line up in the nickel. He's a complete chess piece. So you can get him on the field if you need to get him on the field. High-end athleticism. We all talk about Nick Amanwori's combine, Shamar Stewart's combine. Jihad Campbell had just as good of a combine, 9.85 RAS. He ran a 4.5 at 240 pounds.
Yeah.
He has, like, multiples the sack production that a guy like Shamar Stewart has. And then high-end football character. I mean, he's team captain at Alabama. He's coached by Saban. He decided, despite the fact that he had a torn labrum, he was going to play in the ReliaQuest Bowl. You guys want to watch film? Go
right
back and watch Bama versus Michigan in the ReliaQuest Bowl. Watch number 11. Watch how he played the run. He stuffed the run the whole game. Watch how he played coverage. He took guys out from Davis Warren's projection progression.
Well, that's sounds where we're
like
going to
this sounds like more of a crush.
Yeah, I actually I love the infatuation in your voice.
Chris, let me ask you this, because you started this out by talking about how much you have studied the draft. And Jihad Campbell, I love your breakdown of him. 8 o'clock tonight, what's on TV? Pistons or the draft?
We start Pistons, and then we double screen it, man. We double screen it because, okay, I mean, I got a little bit of action riding on the top 10. But, you know, I by the time the Pistons pick, and here's the skinny.
Yeah.
The draft for me starts really at pick 15. Because for all the guys that I think that we all are talking about, Kenneth Grant, Gray Zabel, you know, my guy Jihad Campbell, you know, Shamar Stewart, you know, these are guys that the Lions are really looking at. I think they're all gone by pick 24. I mean, I really do. I have a hard time playing out this draft and having any of these guys fall to 28. Now, Daniel Jeremiah had Jihad Campbell fall to 32 in his final mock. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Because of the medical.
Yeah, and in that mock, obviously 32, he goes to the Eagles. I'd hate to see it. I think it's a great breakdown of a really exciting football player. I certainly wouldn't be disappointed if Jihad Campbell's playing for the Detroit Lions. That's the energy we're looking for, people. This man has a draft crush. We want yours. It's 97.1.
You guys, I got to tell you that my hot tub from Beninati Pool and Spa has totally changed the way my husband and I relax. He uses it all the time after working out, and I can't wait to hop in it at the end of the day with my two kids. And you can experience your own backyard bliss during Beninati's huge factory direct tent sale. It's happening April 24th through the 27th, and it's all going down at their Utica location right next to Jimmy John's Fields. And now, drum roll, Beninati has a brand new showroom in Clinton Township, right off M59 and I-94, so they're even easier to get to. They've got over 40 different hot tubs in stock, including Hydropool and Caldara, both known for incredible comfort and energy efficiency. And yes, they have the world's only self-cleaning hot tubs, which is life-changing. Plus, you're going to get 12 months, 0% financing, and if you mention my name, Heather, you'll save $500 on your purchase. The pre-sale is already on, so skip the wait and grab your perfect spa now. Visit Beninatipools.com or stop into their Utica or Clinton Township locations and experience the Beninati difference. And I promise you, you're going to love it.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We got ticket texts. We got phone calls to get to. It's NFL draft day. Your draft crush for the Detroit Lions. Have you fallen in love with anyone during this process? And John has made it very clear for more than a month now. You want Gray Zabel.
Yep.
Flexible, multi-position, offensive lineman.
Plug and play.
Water the garden. Mm-hmm. And you think he's the best of the group that could be there. And we say could because, John, I think that's part of the issue at 28 is I admittedly have had a hard time picking one guy I truly fall in love with. If someone's there at 28... they may have some warts, and for me, the player who is just the best of the bunch is James Pierce Jr. And there may be some big warts, and they may not even have him on their board, and in which case, I'll defer to Dan Campbell looking him in the eyes and saying, he's a knucklehead, I don't want him. But if they look at him and say, dynamic football player, we need to just get him in our room, get him in our culture, I don't know that there's a better pass rusher who will be available at 28, pure get-to-the-quarterback pass rusher in this draft at 28 than James Pierce Jr.
And what we don't know is... every draft is going to take a life of its own. It's going to create its own identity. And I think we all believe Cam Ward is going number one overall. But then what happens after that? And we know it's going to be Abdul Carter. It's going to be, Travis is going to be out. Travis Hunter is going to be one of those guys as well. There are going to be certain guys that go at the top of the draft board, but then is there a run on tackles? Is there a run on defensive backs? Is there a run on defensive ends, defensive tackles? Once that starts happening, it's going to push another position group down. So if there is a run on edge defenders and defensive tackles, that could push Gray Zabel, a guy like that, down to 28.
Great point.
And that's where... that's the beauty of the 28th, the mystery, I'd say. Maybe not the beauty, but the mystery of picking in the late 20s is you just have no idea who is going to be available at the time. And like Terrion Arnold, didn't think he was going to be available as late as 24 last year, so they go up and get him. Is there a guy where they think, hey, there's no chance, you know, Mikel Williams.
Sure.
Or James Pierce. Or Gray Zabel. Like, if that's the guy they want, they didn't think he'd be available because they talk amongst themselves. They know what's going on around the NFL much more so than we do. And he's available at 23. That's the guy we want. Let's start making some calls.
Yeah.
And are we going to go up and get one of those guys? Or are we just, is nobody going to answer that call and we're going to sit there and pick a 28?
Yeah, with the edge guys, I just think there's warts with all of them. Like for Mikel Williams, you're going, boy, he's underdeveloped. They may think that's a positive, that they can unlock more of him. But for me, that's not a guy who's making a big impact in year one. With Ezeraku, the pass rusher out of Boston College, I think Dave Burkett has him going to the Lions in his last mock. Maybe more of a 3-4 guy. Now, good character, two-time captain.
Right, yeah. So 3-4 guy. You're basically talking about a pass rush specialist.
And you could say the same thing about James Pierce. My point is, of all the group, I think the guy that best gets to the quarterback is Pierce. So if he can pass the character evaluations on a personal level, that's the guy I would take. Let's get to the phones. Brian in Ann Arbor, you're on 97.1.
John, love Gray Zabel. Don't think he's going to be there. What's wild about this draft, though, is three very deep positions are interior defensive line, end, and interior offensive line. And those happen to be probably the three biggest needs of the Lions. Between the first and second pick, I want them to knock two of those three positions. My crush guy is a guy that I'd like to see him get in the second round, and that's TJ Sanders, defensive tackle out of South Carolina. Kind of like one of the other callers said, you got to look at on-field production and That seems to be things that Holmes really, really favors. TJ Sanders is more of an interior rusher. He's got positional versatility. He could play, you know, they could move him around. Put him next to Aleem Neal, who's your big run clogger. You've got interior pressure, very athletic, consistent production the last 2 years in a row, 4.5, 5 sacks, which those numbers aren't insane, but he's an interior guy. He's a guy that could definitely be there at 60, or at a minimum, you know, maybe a little earlier than that in the second round where they can move up and snag him without giving up a whole ton of premium draft capital. But if Gray Zabel sitting there at 28, that's a very tough guy to pass on, especially considering that we have a couple of older players in Frank. He's probably not going to be around for a whole lot longer. You have Glasgow, yeah, who's, you know, near the end of his career. You're going to have Mahogany starting, who's a rookie who showed a lot of promise. If you can get a premium interior guy who could back up play guard this year and maybe looking at sliding into center when Frank hangs it up, which is probably going to be in the next couple seasons, I think he'd be a very hard guy to pass on if he's there at 28.
Yeah, it's getting echoed a lot. I think Elliot and Alan Park wants to make a good point, too. You're on 97.1.
Hi, guys. I've got two picks. Of course, I'd love Gray Zabel. I don't think he'll be there. Then I'd opt for Tyler Booker. I don't think he'll be there. I think a safe option and a good player, day one starter, would be the guard from Ohio State, Donovan Jackson. But, John, I'd like to ask for your input on my second-round pick, the center from Georgia, Jared Wilson. What do you think about him?
So I think he's a little bit limited athletically. We've been spoiled with what we've seen from Frank. I think he's a guy, Jared Wilson's a guy that knows the game. He's a guy that gets the maximum out of his ability because he's a high IQ guy. I think he's a little bit limited athletically and won't be able to do some of the things that Frank does, but we're also talking about a guy who's an all-pro center, so right, you're not always going to replace an all-pro with an all-pro. So that's my only concern is his ability to get to that second level, to pick up some of those linebackers, his ability to be used as a puller from the center position, and his athletic ability in regards to if he makes a mistake or he oversets, how can he recover? But he doesn't make a lot of those mistakes. So, you know, you kind of are in position to not have to utilize that athletic ability.
Ticket Texture says that Jihad Campbell, freak athlete, would love to see him in Honolulu Blue. That's Austin and Grand Blanc. Another guy said, I didn't have a draft crush, but after that last phone caller, the guy that called in about Jihad Campbell,
yeah,
that's my guy now. He makes a lot of sense in terms of the position versatility on this front. He does. Texter says, Jim wants the guy who's been called completely uncoachable. And another person says, I don't even think it's off the field. I just don't think he's a good fit. They like bigger ends.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, Mykal Williams is the coaching staff fit, right? Bigger, longer, can play the run, has the pass rushing upside they can unlock. Mykal Williams is a very Lions pick.
Mykal Williams, yes. Or Shamar Stewart.
Yes, but
feels like it fits a little bit better in regards to a bigger edge. Maybe not he's not the pass rusher that Aiden is, never will be. He's probably not the pass rusher that Mykal Williams is, not the upside, but Shamar Stewart maybe has the more every down type of ability.
Between the two, Stewart and Williams, they both have sky high ceilings because of the athleticism. Williams showed you a little more production last year, right?
Yeah, and one of the things I like about Mykal Williams was, you know, he wasn't worried about the numbers. He seems like a Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell type of guy because he was dinged up last year. His numbers didn't match what they were in 23, but he still went out there and played. He wasn't concerned with, well, I can't be 100%, so I'm not playing. I don't want to affect my draft status.
So a couple notes on him, and I know we're up against it. His pro day, he ran a 4.7 40, slow. He had an ankle injury last year. Production dipped. Those are reasons a guy falls into your lap at 28.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. The recipe's there for him to be a Lion at the end of the night. All right, we'll get to Heather's news coming up next. And we got to talk about the Pistons. They're playing tonight, 7 o'clock, Game 3, pivotal game. It's 97.1.
Hey, something we all want to see is green grass. We want to see leaves on trees, and we don't want to see dandelions. We don't want to see crabgrass. So you got to give Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service a call. That number, 888-GET-GREEN. You can get more info on the web at naturalwaylawn.com. If you sign up for a full lawn program right now, You're going to get free gun control, but you got to mention my name along with 97.1 The Ticket. I mentioned dandelions. They're going to rob your lawn of water and nutrients, and you better take care of them now before they go to seed, because they'll just spread all over your lawn. It's not too late to treat for the crabgrass. They're not going to give you a runaround. Not going to tell you midsummer or late summer, hey, we've got this issue, what do you want to do about it? No, they just fix things. Locally owned and operated for 35 years. Again, that number, 888-GET-GREEN, or on the web at naturalwaylawn.com. Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. Get green, stay green with Natural Way.
All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
This is fun. There's an elementary school teacher in Farmington that is in the running to be named America's favorite teacher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Jo Lynn Portatelli is a second grade teacher at Longacre Elementary School. She's been teaching for nearly two decades, and she is one of 128 semifinalists named for this award. And it's not just like the recognition she would get, which is pretty cool on its own, but if she wins, she'd win $25,000, a feature in Reader's Digest, a trip to Hawaii, and a school assembly with Bill Nye.
Oh, the science guy.
The science guy. I mean, pretty cool, yeah, for sure. Not only the recognition, which is great, yeah, but so the contest actually began with over 100,000 teachers competing for this title.
Wow.
And
just to be one of the top 128, that's, yeah, a pretty big deal.
It is. So voting for the semifinals ends today, and she must get first place among an eight-teacher pool to then advance to the finals.
Where can we vote?
You can vote on this link, John. No, I... Of course, it doesn't actually spell it out. It's literally, you got to go to the website, but...
Okay. What's
the website?
Website? Yeah.
I don't know, but just Google teacher in Farmington Hills up for America.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
Sorry.
I bad printed question. It. I don't even know where it came from, so...
Okay. Got it.
But you can go. You can find it online. This is a cool story, too. So the Tigers acquired Chase Lee from the Texas Rangers at the trade deadline last year in exchange for Andrew Chafin, right? And while they were... traded to different teams, they actually traded basically homes, not the actual house, but they traded RV campsites, literally like the same site. So they'd both been living in RVs, and when they swapped teams, they swapped campsites. And now when Chafin was signed back with the Tigers on a minor league deal this spring, they're now neighbors. Obviously, can't live on the same campsite, but they live in the same camp grounds, and they just had a bonfire last week. Look at that.
That's awesome.
What a story.
It's unique.
It is. It's the whole story. There's a lot to it, which it gives more background and details about their living situation, and it's a really cool story to read, but kind of an interesting, unique story right there for the Tigers. Let's see. I feel like I've been talking about this for a long time over the course of the year, even last year too. But this is just a reminder to make sure that if you don't have a star on your driver's license, you're gonna want going one anywhere by next month. So beginning May 7th, Michigan residents will need to have a real ID to fly within the U.S., also to enter certain federal facilities as well. So you know you have one if you have that star in the corner of your ID. Pretty simple to see. Now, if you don't have one and you're ready to upgrade, you can convert to a real ID. You need to visit the Secretary of State. You do need to bring some things with you. You need to make sure you have your current driver's license or ID. You must have a valid, expired U.S. passport or birth certificate or proof of legal presence, right? Yep. If you don't have either of those two. And then if you had a name change, you need to make sure you bring a certified legal name change document. It's going to be a $9
like
fee.
Marriage certificate,
yes,
would work.
Yeah. If you're just doing it right now, a $9 fee. If you're going to do it when you're renewing or replacing a license, it is free.
No. Oh, okay.
Now, let's
say... Do you still have to provide those documents when you renew... Like annually, normally,
no,
like around your birthday?
No.
Really?
No. Once you provide them once, you
oh,
get
no,
to...
Oh, no. I'm saying like if for the first time you want to add
it. First time,
it,
yeah.
No matter
yeah
when you do it, you'll have yep to provide
first timers
okay
have to.
Yeah.
So if you don't do this by May 7th and you have a trip planned...
What can we not
as
do?
As I do, and I don't have this, there is ways around it. You will need... You can use a passport.
Of course.
So yeah, if you have a passport or, you know, a passport card, that works fine too in replace of this real ID. There's other things as well that you can have. There's actually quite a long list of things that you can use, but it just makes it a little bit like I'm going to have to carry around a passport unless I go do this
right
before my trip, which is fine.
Have you not done it yet?
I don't plan on doing it.
Oh, really?
I plan on doing it when I renew my license. Like, I don't.
You don't want to jump through extra hoops.
I don't. And I know it's not hard to make an appointment online, go to the Secretary of State at your time and $9 do it. But I'm more of like, let's just do it when I renew my license online and
don't lose your passport.
Not to be difficult. Not to be difficult. Why do we need this specifically? Is this a safety thing?
I think it's to streamline the process.
What process? Like to fly? Like to?
Yeah, I think it's
I'm still going to have to show an ID either way. It's just going to have a star on it.
Yes. You have to show that you are actually here and it's you.
But we don't. Okay.
Asking questions, we don't have all the answers
I
to.
Understand.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, whatever.
It's Heather with the news. All right, John. Tonight we have Pistons playoff basketball in our backyard.
Oh, that's tonight, eh?
Little Caesars Arena, 7 o'clock, Pistons and Knicks.
It's going to be so much fun. It'll be fun to be downtown. I'm going to be downtown for other reasons, but it's just the environment downtown. We've seen it with so many different events. Like, there's a lot of people that don't have tickets that are still going to want to be downtown. And obviously, those with tickets, I mean, that's the golden ticket today.
And the weather is cooperating. It's going to be so much
fun. Go down early. Enjoy
fun.
Downtown. Go over to the game. And then you get a chance to see Cade and company whoop up on the New York Knicks again.
This is the pivotal game, right?
Yeah, I think this one, there's much more riding on it for me for the Knicks.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because the Pistons, I know it's tied 1-1. Those are the facts. The other facts are they've outplayed the Knicks in 7 of 8 quarters. They have controlled this series in a way that is giving them confidence, and it's creating question marks for the New York Knicks. We heard the coach, Thibodeau, after the game, whining and bitching and moaning about the referees. I don't think the referees change what they do. And we also heard when JB was asked about the officiating, we like a physical series. Mm-hmm. We're okay with the way things are being called. It's going to be rough and tumble. It totally plays into our brand of basketball.
Yeah, the pressure's on the Knicks. They have to respond after losing home court. Karl Anthony Towns has to respond after having 0 second half points. They have to respond to a series that has been physical and chippy, and they might not get every call. Gasp. They're going to have to find a way. It's on the Knicks to go into what's going to be a hostile environment, a loud crowd. We've got special something before the game. They won't tell us what. We're hoping it's Final Countdown and the intros and all that stuff. Thundersticks and the Pistons fans have been waiting for this. This isn't just a token get in the playoffs for a cute appearance. This is a series this team feels they can win and the city feels they can win. So the pressure's all on the Knicks tonight. You got to go into that environment. You have to avoid losing back-to-back. John, if the Pistons win, this does feel like that nail in the coffin for the Knicks, right?
Oh, yeah. To me, it feels like it's the first nail. Can they respond later? Sure. The series is not over. You've got to win 4 to put this one to bed. But if the Pistons win tonight, they get another game at home with the chance to go up 3-1 going back to New York. And I thought you made a great point earlier in the week that that's a city that will eat their own. They will not be well received. They're going to get support, but it's going to be more of a desperation support than it is anything else.
Yeah, they're not going to go, oh, we're all behind our team and let's go Knicks. It's going to be you losers, you scumbags, you choke artists, you suck. That's going to be from their own fans. That won't have to be from Pistons fans. In fact, you turn the series into 7 home games for the Pistons if you put them on their heels because they don't get home court and we do. That's a huge swing if you can take care of business in the game tonight. Because now they're reeling. The Pistons outplayed them in game 1. Didn't win. You don't get credit for it. But it is part of the fabric of the series that you know you're better than them. And then you proved it in game 2. And then if you win game 3, you feel like, boy, through 3 games, we've got them right where we want them. The Knicks are in trouble. We said that after game 2. You lose tonight. What's more than trouble? You're drowning at that point.
Yeah. And I mean, it's... Don't give a young team more confidence.
Right.
Because they're only going to get more empowered, They're only going to gain more confidence. And with the ability to respond from Saturday to Monday, you saw them learn. This learning curve is not, hey, how do we get over getting from, you know, the conference finals to an NBA championship? This is, how do we get a win in round one? How do we seal and finish off a game? Because they had every opportunity to go back in the tank in the fourth quarter on Monday night. They didn't. They found a way to get it done, whether it was Dennis Schroeder with a huge bucket, or it was Cade starting the game out much different than he did the game before. This is an opportunity for them to take it to the next level, and they're going to be able to do it at home in a friendly environment and a very hostile environment for the Knicks.
I think game two, the Pistons broke through. I feel that way. Now, if you want to say it's only one game and it doesn't matter, that's why winning tonight would reinforce that. I believe they've already broken through. I think they're winning this series. We've said that from the jump. But if you go, it's just one game and the teams are going back and forth and the Knicks will make their adjustment, a win tonight is definitive. They did break through. This isn't a cute team that's just in the playoffs to be in the playoffs. They're very much real, at least for this round, right? I'm not getting carried away. They're beating the Celtics or anything like that. But tonight's pivotal. How pivotal? If we ask you the question, winner of tonight wins the series, true or false? 248-539-9797. We can get into it a little more. But specifically, too, if you just want to call in and talk about basketball, we're going to talk about the things that could decide the game tonight. We'll get to it next, 97.1.
Hey guys, it's Heather, and if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's Verizon's best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they've got your back now and in the future. So go ahead and take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Six nothing final. Dan Dickerson's call. Tigers beat the Padres. Best team in the NL. Beat by the best team in the AL. Mm-hmm. Makes you think. It's early. But the staff is real. Reese Olson looked great. Best start of the season for him. And he's been, quote, the weak link statistically. He's got the lowest or the highest ERA of the bunch. But the Tigers keep finding ways to win. Off day today. Tonight, we shift to the Pistons. And the NFL draft. And you can watch along with us. We'll have the stream going. Pistons get things started at 7, John. And we asked that question, true or false, the winner of tonight wins the series. If the Knicks win this game, I don't think the Pistons are out of the series, so I have to say false. But if the Pistons win, and that's back-to-back wins for Detroit, that's a legitimate breakthrough, not just, they found a way to win game two, but a legitimate breakthrough. You've got them on their heels for game four. The crowd's activated. And if you got to go back to New York, you're not intimidated. Yeah, it sure feels like the Pistons can win the series.
Well, and the Pistons capitalizing on what they did in the regular season as well. Like now they have played 6 times and the Pistons have won 4 of those 6. Regular season was 3-1. So yeah, they've got all the confidence in the world and it changed. A lot of things change in the postseason. Intensity changes. And we talked to JB earlier in the season. One of the things I thought was very important that he talked about was as you are in a playoff position, as you get past the All-Star break, how do you get the guys focused? What is it that you're working on? And he mentioned at that time, it's not just every game matters. Every quarter matters. Every possession matters. Hammering that home, we saw it in the fourth quarter on Saturday night. Every possession matters. And when you waste possessions, you waste opportunities. They wasted a golden opportunity. They could be up 2-0 in this series, should be up 2-0. They learned from that. And it's been something that JB has been hammering home for months. How important every time You have that ball in your possession, coming away with a quality possession. It doesn't always mean a bucket. That's the ideal way.
Yeah.
But coming away with a quality possession, a good look at the basket, a good shot matters when you're trying to make the playoffs, but certainly when you're in the playoffs. And it costs them a 21-0 run. That's a lot of empty possessions that you had that you didn't come away with. They learned from Saturday to Monday.
Fell on their face, picked themselves up, found a way to win. You find a way to win tonight. It's a trend. It's real. It's happening. John, you said you don't think tonight's going to be officiated.
I don't think it changes anything that we saw in those first two. Obviously, Jalen Brunson's not going to change how he plays. He's not going to change his whiny face. And so it's just something that we have to deal with as fans watching it. Right? This is how he plays. This is going into it. We understand exactly what he's going to try and do. He's going to try and bait and hunt for fouls.
But I think how the game's officiated matters.
Yeah, but I think the NBA looks at this and goes, I'm sorry, you know, Mr. Thibodeau, but we actually called more fouls on the Pistons.
Oh, I want to be clear. I don't think he has a leg to stand on. The Pistons were called for 24 fouls. The Knicks were called for 22. But when a coach starts doing this, chatting in the media, begging for calls.
He's whistling in the graveyard because the NBA is looking at it going, look at the facts. Your guy had one less free throw than their guy. We called more fouls on those guys than we did on you guys. Officials look at that too.
I know, but we've seen this where officiating isn't always consistent game to game, let alone quarter to quarter. Even in game two, it wasn't officiated consistently. At the end of that game, they were trying to make up for the first three quarters, and they started calling everything, and Asar Thompson fouls out. I won't rule out the fact that Brunson gets, whether it's earned or not, some BS makeup calls tonight. And how do the Pistons handle it? How does the crowd handle it? I'd like to see a little more Ron Holland tonight. Let's use a few more of those fouls and just use him as menace minutes. Give him 6 to 8 minutes where you just throw him on Jalen Brunson and press him and make him work. Because if you're going to call a couple more fouls, let's be prepared for that. I think Ron Holland could have a little bit of a role tonight.
Oh, I sure he could. And this is where I think JB really, you know, is important in regards to how he manages the minutes of Malik Beasley, how he manages the minutes of those starters. Like we saw Tobias Harris get 43 minutes. Cade Cunningham had 42 minutes. And is he going to edge up the minutes a little bit of Malik Beasley, of Dennis Schroeder, of Paul Reed? I don't think we see more Paul Reed, but I think we see some quality minutes from him. And Ron Holland had 5 minutes. Do we see 7 or 8? Because that's 3 minutes off somebody else that matters when you get to the fourth quarter. That's fouls that maybe Asar Thompson isn't getting that you could put on Ron Holland.
You've got to manage menace minutes.
Menace minutes, yeah. And we didn't even talk about Isaiah Stewart.
Huge story if he's going to play. I know it's questionable, the knee inflammation.
Six more fouls. Now you just got to make sure that they're all in the course of play.
So the Knicks don't shoot a lot of threes. So that means they got to get to the hoop consistently. And it's why Isaiah Stewart makes a big difference when he plays in this series. Now, Durin stepped up big in game two without him. That's another huge key tonight. With or without Isaiah Stewart, Durin's going to play big minutes and has to do a nice job around the rim. And Karl Anthony Towns is going to come back with a counterpunch. I mean, he was held scoreless in the second half against the Knicks. They're going to find a way to get him some touches around the paint. Fine, but you got to battle him. And that's why an extra body in Isaiah Stewart would make a big difference. I mean, they won without Isaiah Stewart. I'm not sitting here telling you if he doesn't play, they're screwed.
No, but it would be nice to have that force in there.
Yeah.
It would be nice to have those extra six fouls so that Jalen Duren, like he did in game one, has three early in the game, and then he's limited in how aggressive he can play, or you're just looking at it going, okay, we just got to be careful with him. We got to manage him a little bit more.
Come on, guys. The winner of tonight's game doesn't mean they're winning the series. That someone says false.
Okay, fine. Yeah, you know what? And I said they win in six, and everybody said, oh, well, no, they can't win. Like, this is what we do. I'm going to argue the fact that it matters, but we ultimately won't know until the series is over.
Are you guys dumb enough to do double-digit disco on a playoff game? No.
Not me.
I don't think we're dumb. I'm looking at you. I'm not doing it. He said the series is over when the Tigers went up 2-1 against the Guardians. Pistons need to close out and win convincingly, regardless if they win tonight.
Sure they do.
Yeah. A test of a true young team. How do they deal with success? That's Tom's big thing. Tom, you thought they would be in a position where they would win game three but be tested.
Yeah, I think the series has gone how I thought. Lose game one, win game two. I thought they'd split there. Win game three.
Let down.
And I think Sunday afternoon is going to provide that. I think a 1 o'clock start sucks. I said that when we talked about this, that the schedule did them no favors. Plus, the Knicks will get one extra day than typical. It's not every other day. Just kind of.
Why does a 1 o'clock start on Sunday matter?
It's terrible for the NBA. I've seen it so many times, John, with a home team up 2-1. And I've never seen in any sport a team fail to win a series when they're up 2-1 more than the NBA. It's just part of the makeup of the momentum. And when a team is down, like I've seen a lot of really, really, really good NBA teams fall down 2-1. And then they're kind of like, yeah, let's go. I remember the Pistons, the glorious bad boys back in the day, fell down 2-1 to Michael Jordan's Bulls like in 88. It was weird. And then it's kind of like, okay, we got to get crap here. Now, are the Knicks that good? No. But I do think they have a backbone and that will show come Sunday. I think tonight the Pistons, there's so much going their way. I was just a little puzzled by, look, if the Knicks are not, they're not bickering yet in terms of internally at each other. They've already said something about the refs, Thibodeau did, but if that happens, it changes everything. It changes my opinion.
Let me paint a scenario for you. The crowd's great. The Pistons, who led essentially wire to wire in game two, do the same in game three. You've already played the officiating card in the media. Now what? Now do we get some of the bickering? Now do we get some of the infighting? Now do we get some of the frustrations of, oh no, the Knicks are going to choke?
You know what? But I do think on the road in that moment, if they are challenged and their backs up and they know they have to win game four, I think being on the road helps them in that spot.
I don't know, because now I have a Pistons crowd that's activated having just seen a win on Thursday night.
It won't
be
the same Sunday no matter what. It won't. It won't. It'll be a late arriving church crowd.
It's a public challenge from Tom Mellon.
It will. I've seen it so many times.
You guys are going to be soft on Sunday. You're going to show up with a half-ass attitude and effort on Sunday, fans. You heard it from Tom.
Mail it in.
Heck, I remember that. There's some sort of psyche thing about being at home in these early games, and these players are kind of, they're staying at home. They're in their routine. I remember the Red Wings used to do it in their heyday.
I'll use a word you love. I think the fans will relish the chance to be up 2-1 and have that game on Sunday at Little Caesars Arena. Relish that opportunity.
Am I what Jared Goff says we are?
Relish in negativity.
I just, I'm not being a hater here. I picked the Knicks in seven. This thing has gone exactly how I thought, and I thought it'd be a war. And you guys know I said I thought it was 51-49 Knicks.
War continues tonight, 7 o'clock. Coming up next, more on the NFL draft. It's 97.1.